What's up, y'all? Jeffy, Jeffy TV coming to you live on Memorex. Default route, default location, default weather. Back into the sunny Southern California climate that I'm used to. I think it said 70 degrees this morning on the weather app. Feels warmer than that, of course, when you're walking in the sun. And of course, this 70 is going to feel warmer because it's early in the season, 70. 70 in August is going to be cold. And that's not to throw shade or to make a comment about the temperatures I endured. Probably could use a better word than endured. The temperatures I experienced when I was in Ohio, Michigan, and Illinois, Youngstown, Detroit, Chicago. One thing funny too about that whole thing, I was in Ohio for maybe a day or so, or whatever. So I kind of, got used to the cold weather. Meaning, my body kind of was prepared for it. I knew how to dress for it. I was kind of ready. But when I got to Chicago, it was a little different. Sure, it may have been colder, a few degrees colder. But it hit me, and I laughed when I realized why they call it the Windy City. I knew it was called the Windy City. I even said it myself, in cliche or whatever, trying to, be cool. But until you experience it, that shit cuts. It just cuts. It puts a whole different meaning on cold and the temperature. But, to be back. And there even was one time where I came back from Ohio and I came back to this sunny Southern California, fairly predictable weather, and it irritated me. Because I was back in Ohio, there were thunderstorms and clouds and rain and humidity and just different. It was different. It could be different every day. It could be different in the same day. Now look at rain. Next thing you know, stop raining, sun come out. Humidity stay warm at night, and just so many variances of climate or temperature. I don't know what the word is. And come back here. Here we go. Same old sun. Same old bright, airy, dry weather. But that's why I pay $1,800 a month for a one-bedroom apartment. That's exactly why. For this. For all of this. For this right here. I pay for this. I pay to have this. You see that back there is a metro. That's a driving lane dedicated purely to the metro. So that means it won't be affected by traffic. I pay to have that. I pay to live close to that. And to have this walking path and all that. It's no accident. Which kind of leads me to what I kind of wanted to get into. The other day I made a post. And I was being a bit. Now, there's a fine line between being proud and bragging. And it probably giving me argued to do the same thing. There's a fine line between being proud and bragging. And I made a post in regards to, P-Funk shows coming up and they get me excited, the planning, all that. And You know, I think in that post I interjected a line that I was capable of seeing that band anywhere on the planet. No matter where they play or when, I had the means, wherewithal, and probably experience to go see them or to be there, no matter where they are on the planet. Now, I'm very proud of that. I don't know if I'm bragging about it or not, but I'm extremely proud of it. And then somebody made a comment in regards to, you know, being jealous or something like that. And I get it, you know, I get it. It was in jest, but, you know, I definitely get it. And, you know, it was mentioned something about disposable income or this or that, you know. And I get it, you know. It was, but it made me think, you know, because, you know, being human, first thing you think of is a retort. You want to come back at it, or a defense, even if it's real small in your mind, and, you know, you ain't really sweating it, you know, a defense will come up, and then an evaluation, and maybe even a critique or a summary of what I was thinking when I wrote it. You know, I went through the whole thing, you know, just, you know, laying in the bed, just doing what I do. And I kind of got to the point to where it was no accident. It's no accident that I'm in the place that I am. It's probably no accident I am who I am and what I am. And if you listened to me before, you know that there's nothing more, nothing I cherish more or love or admire or is more precious to me than being me. I love nothing more than being Jeffrey. And I don't love Jeffrey. I don't quite understand that, to actually love Jeffrey. I love being Jeffrey, which Jeffrey's capable of, blah, blah, blah. I heard it before. And to get here, to be this, to achieve, having achieved this, it wasn't by accident. There's no accident. I put work in. And I had a plan for years. From high school, I had a plan. And it was basically in the maintenance and keeping my life clean, keeping my resume clean, keeping my history clean, you know, keeping my credit clean, keeping, you know, no arrests or outstanding warrants, staying out of trouble like that. I mean, this goes way back. Like out of high school type days, I was always aware. And I believe to a degree, if not a large degree, keeping that part of my life, quote unquote, clean, allows me to be in the position I'm in. Oh, it definitely permits it and allows it. There's no way, you know, I don't see too many, I don't think there's going to be any felons, no matter how liberal the company I work for is and how DEI inclusive they want to be. I'm thinking there ain't going to be too many people fresh out the pokey sitting next to me doing the job I'm doing. Because there was an extent, there's background checks. You know, there's background checks and whatnot. And I was always able to keep my record clean, keep my credit score high, keep my job history, no bad references on my resume from previous employers, et cetera, et cetera. And that just opens up, you know, the opportunity for me to be able to take a position Even though I may be credible and able to do the job, you got to have that part cleaned up too. Also, career choice, electronics. I don't know if electronics chose me or I chose electronics. But as far as a career choice, I nailed it. Just like I nailed choosing Parliament. Just like I nailed choosing the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, that's just the way I look at it. These have been pillars of my life for over a half a century. Was there luck involved? Absolutely. Was there luck involved? Absolutely. Said many times before, the luckiest day of my life was when it was determined who my parents were gonna be. From then on, it was just gravy. I just had to maintain my role with guidance and support and put in a position to succeed. Put a little Jeffrey on it, twisted a little bit, adjusted, you know, what they gave me. Made it, tailored it to my whims and inspirations and whatever I liked. But I'm looking back and, like I said, sure, there was luck. But luck is nothing more than being ready for when the opportunity comes. That's all luck is. Luck is just being prepared for when opportunity happens. And I guess as the saying and stuff that I was, you know, maintaining all my life, or, you know, keep my record clean, keep my history clean, you know, doing all that stuff, building resumes, building a history. That's being prepared for when that opportunity hits. Filing bankruptcy twice. I just wanted to throw that in there for whatever reason. Because I filed bankruptcy twice. I did it myself. I filled out the paperwork and filed it myself. Both times. And it cleared my history. Cleared my credit. Then the first time, I said, I ain't never getting debt again like this. And I ended up doing it again. Second time, I was like, nope, not this time. I think 2015 is when I did it. And then, fairly recently, they both dropped off. The final bankruptcy dropped off. My credit score soared. And I was able to build. And I started working. The opportunity came to work where I work at now. Best job I ever had in my life. Most money ever made in my life. Took my credit score up to being very good, to be very good. It's no accident. Now I'm not defending what I posted. I'm just more like exploring it. I just wanted to explore the idea, you know, of maybe how or why I'm able to go to any P-Funk concert anywhere in the world, anytime. No matter where they play, I can be there. P-Funk is one of my passions. And on top of that, I love P-Funk, there's no doubt. I love P-Funk. But traveling to all these places to see them, it's not just about the show. A lot of times, it's about the city and seeing the crowd. Well, the crowd at the show, but it's more experiencing the city and the culture in which the show is at. Because I love to travel. I love to travel anyway. So when they played Paris, I was like, oh, hell yeah. Went through the whole process of getting a passport. Again, I had my record clean, my history clean. I knew how to fill out the paperwork because I did my, you know, I have demo bankruptcies. I knew how the system works, how to go through it, even though it's pretty straightforward. You know, there's still some hoops you got to jump through. Now, when we went to China, I had to do some stuff because I had to get my daughter and her husband's China visas together. So you got to know how to not work the system. You got to know how to work within the system and to follow directions and to meet deadlines. If they say be at this place at this time, you got to be at that place at that time. If you got to turn this in a certain way, you got to turn it in that way. So I learned how to do all that. I know how to do all that. And this is kind of a side thing, but in 1995, when I got laid off, but I guess it might tie in. In 1995, when I got laid off as an electronic technician from Avacom, I knew I was ready. I was ready to go. In fact, when I got laid off, I had everything already cleaned out. I wasn't even surprised. 15 minutes, I was out the door. Didn't ever have to go back. I knew I was, you know, looking for a change. And about that time, it was computers. And I had already started dabbling in computers on my own, you know, without getting training, studying stuff, books, whatever. I think I had even bought a computer, saved some money, bought like a DX4, 486 or something like that. You know, so I had a Tandy 1000. You know, so I was dabbling that on the side. So when I got laid off, I knew I had to make a decision or a pivot to a new career, a new direction, a new way to support myself, you know. So I took that opportunity. I remember getting laid off, getting my stuff up, going home. And by the time I got home, I had a plan. And by I got home, I was there 10 minutes. And I was out the door, going someplace else. I was going to DeVry. Because I had found out about a new bachelor's degree program they had or something. And I wanted to go see about it. I knew I had money in my 401k. I knew I was going to get unemployment. I took how much unemployment would compensate to pay my rent and stuff, my mortgage, whatever, versus how much I had in my 401k, how long that would last, the penalty for withdrawing it, et cetera, all that. Getting a loan to go to school. DeVry had a new bachelor's degree program, brand new. And while I was on unemployment, found out that they were, it was free training for networking. So I signed up for that. I was going to two schools at once. Took a whole year off. Kids came out, stayed with me, extended amount of time. Swam every day. Was in school, loving the life. Convertible, I had a convertible. Southern California. I was loving the life. And getting educated. One thing about all that, if there's anything about all that, it would be that I chose Novell. I chose to go the route of Novell and not Microsoft certification. Had I gotten Microsoft certification, I'd probably be dead by now. I'd have been rich too early, too fast. I would have gotten rich too early, too fast. But one thing about Novell got me into live entertainment. They had a Novell network, CC Mail. So I was able to get into there, and that's where live entertainment was, the Menendez Brothers organization. They had like one of the largest tape libraries, title libraries. And somebody bought them. We became Artisan Entertainment. We got Blair Witch Project. You know, I went through that. I was able to go through that. So, and that was the best job I ever had. No, that was my most favorite job I ever had. Best job I ever had is now. Most favorite job was working in Santa Monica, Artisan Entertainment. Oh my God. The most beautiful people. This entertainment industry is, it's too volatile, but it was, when it's good, it's good. First time I went to a strip club, I was working there, and we went at lunch. It was like, that's how, you know, open and, you know, creative things were. And girls went with us too. And the food was good. It's called Foreplay, right there off the 405. Every time I ride by there, I remember that. First time I ever been to a strip club, it was at lunch at that job. So I had a good life. I've had a good life, and how much of it? Definitely some of it is luck, but how much of it is or was? No, some of it was luck, but a lot of it was no accident. It was no accident. There's a plan in place. There's still a plan that's in place. I still got a plan going on. I'm still building whatever I'm building and don't know how it's going to turn out. Like when I started messing with computers years ago, I had a Timex Sinclair, some little like Atari type computer, had a keyboard on it, you could do basic programming. You know, I had little stuff like that. Never think I had a Commodore 64. I think I had my hands on one time and it didn't really work right, it needed. I got my Tandy 1000, learning all this on my own. And then come time to get formal training and find out how much I really know about computers, you know, in the real world, because, you know, I'm working in isolation. So I'm starting, now I'm going out there and say, hey, you know, how much do I know versus what other people know out in the world? And I was all right. I was more than all right. I was like, oh, I know how to do that. I got one of those, I know how to do that. Woo! Woo! I'm trying to make it go red. It won't go red. How come it won't? Try to see if I can get the audio to go up loud enough. I think it's recording, I don't know. See, I got a new wind guard on it. I had to do a makeshift wind guard because I was hearing wind on the mic when I was walking here. In Ohio, definitely. In Ohio, and at the undisclosed location, there's just wind, you can hear it. That's what made me actually have to make one. But here, I didn't think it'd be so much wind, but it was enough to make me go ahead and, you know, know I needed some kind of guard. I wanted a guard to get that, you know, just to clean it up. Clean it up as much as possible. You know, it's not going to be Joe Rogan, Lex Fridman clean. But, you know, clean it up as baby steps. Keep improving till you get to a point to where you say, hey, you know, this is pretty damn good. But, and the object too, I would like to say, the object too is to not wait till it's perfect before you start creating. Just start creating. Just cut it on and start talking. Just cut it on and start doing whatever you do. Don't wait until you feel like, oh, I don't want to put it out there until it's perfect. I don't want to, you know, start doing this or doing that until, all right, it's perfect now. That's not how it's done. Well, at least not for me. Because that'd be forever. You'd be waiting forever to put something out. So as I get it to a certain level of acceptance, and then I just keep working at it, and while I'm building and making it better, I'm learning, putting out content, and actually doing it. And I went to a small business administration seminar, and that's what the person said. They said, don't worry about paperwork or this or that, or having that file or this file. Just start doing it. IRS don't care. You'll have time to pay it back if you don't have income. You have time to pay the taxes or whatever, or get that permit or whatever. Start doing what you're supposed to be doing. Worry about dotting the I's and crossing the T's after you done start making some money. Because everybody wants to get the paperwork, the logo, you know, even me. You know, I wanted to have that moment where I was officially blah, 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 blah. You know, have the paperwork signed, all nice, you know, certified, accredited, or whatever. But really hadn't even done anything. You know, hadn't really even shown that the business could be profitable or, you know? Do you? I don't know. I'm just checking the mic. Last time I was. So, that's my conversation about me being able to go see, to experience my passions wherever they may occur. And also with that, you know, traveling to be able to go see P-Funk anywhere in the world, blah, blah. You know, of course, there's a financial thing about it. You know, and there's time and whatever, freedom. But there's also mentality and a capability and a wherefore-allness. There's something, I mean, there can be people who have everything they can do it. They just don't, number one, don't have the gumption to do it, or not the energy, physical energy so much, but the mental energy to pull it off. You know, I have a passion also to travel. But to travel, you gotta have a stomach to travel. You gotta go through some stuff and be prepared for stuff, especially if you like to travel by yourself. I went to motherfucking Moscow, Russia by myself. Very proud of that. Probably could tell by the tone of my voice. I went to Russia, Moscow, by myself. Because I knew wasn't nobody else going to go with me. And I knew a long, 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 long time ago that if I wanted to do something, I had to exclude people. I got to start doing stuff by myself. Because if it's something I want to do, I did not want to be dependent on anybody else. So I trained myself. Actually, the training was very easy. I found myself. And my deepest joy in traveling by myself, I told the story before, it's 1995 Super Bowl. First time I went out to an event like that, intentionally by myself. Drove down to Phoenix. You know, did the whole thing. And that turned me on. From then on, I was like, oh my God, I don't need nobody. And not only that, I had more fun, more freedom, more flexibility, more room to be Jeffrey, whatever that means, loud, obnoxious, crazy, whatever. I had more room and more freedom to do that. And I wasn't apprehensive about it. Now, when I went to Moscow, I was apprehensive. Now, when I went to Moscow, I definitely was apprehensive. That was a few years ago. It might not be the same now. But that's when I really first started traveling internationally by myself. London and Paris, all that stuff was psh, piece of cake. When I went to Moscow, That's when I was like looking around. But I did it. It takes that, you know, it's not just, you know, the money, disposable income, blah, blah, extra, all that time. You got to have that in you too. Because the way I move around, and the way I like to be capable of moving around, two people, it may be impossible to accommodate two people. The schedules and, you know, booking and livelihood and availability of two people. When I'm ready to go, I'm ready to go. And I got my life set up to where I can. I don't even have a dog. As I say, I don't even have a fish in the house or a plant. So I can just drop and go to a degree. To a large degree. To a large degree, a little bit of responsibility I do have here. You know, it's not that much. So, you know, like I said, I'm not defending or making a comeback to the reply to my post or anything. I just wanted to explore it for myself and to share. Not everybody, but just put it out there. I don't want to say let everybody. To put it out there in the universe. To get it down in digital. Post it on Facebook. Have it transcribed by Facebook. Get it on the internet. And chances are it can be there forever. And that's primarily. I'ma wait. I'm tired. I ain't even gonna run. I'm gonna take a break. To get my words down, out there, to get what I gotta say out there, and then, like, I just realized too, kinda, Facebook transcribes it, so it'll be written, it'll be in text out there someplace. And Facebook is compiling all that data. And if I can find, I also want to look into how I can download that stuff. That would be very advantageous to have all those transcripts of all my videos. That's why I was gonna have somebody build me a database. Contract somebody to build a database to where I can search my videos and transcripts and, you know, find things I've said and compile it into deeper thought, et cetera, et cetera. I think I just thought of that. I might do that when I get home today. I don't know. I got to see what else I got going on. Today's Thursday, so happy Thursday. Today is the day I feel like it's downhill from here. Wednesday is hump day. Wednesday is getting over. Wednesday is all uphill, if you ask me. All the way up until Wednesday. Thursday is when it starts to go down here. Thursday is when it starts, where you can taste Friday. But you still got to get through Thursday, which makes it the anticipation, you know, something nice to have or to experience. Still got to put in work, buddy. You still got to put in work. I was trying to look and see what time it was, but looked like somebody busted out the bus sign light. I mean, bus line, digital display, monitor, what would we call it? Ugh. Feels good though. Woke up today 206.4. Yesterday I was 205.8. I did do some stuff at work yesterday. I had Pub Mix twice. Drank a lot of sparkling lemonade. Came home. Did get on the salad though when I got home. And didn't snack afterwards. Of course, the highlight was to stop and pick up a Black & Mild to have that. And the funny thing is, I can't wait to, you know, anticipate that first hit of one. But I don't like the way it makes me feel. I really don't. And almost today, I was like, you know, maybe I ain't, you know, maybe I don't necessarily. We'll see after work. We'll play it by ear. But I'm going to get one at a time. Just so happens I find a place where if I get one at a time, it's almost less than what I pay for a pack sometimes. And if I buy a Black & Mild at a time, you can check and see if they're fresh or not. If they're still soft. And them soft ones. Oh my God, that first hit of a soft one. Woo. So, that's good. Well, it's not good, but it's something to look forward to, and that's always something. Then I have my salad and sit down and watch my podcast, of which I'm growing weary of because there's not really much going on in Steeler land. So they're talking, though. Now they're trying to keep it interesting to a degree. You could probably say they're making up stuff. You definitely could probably say that. But it's stuff that's sort of relevant to the Steelers. Any news, any drop of news that you don't get a full-blown report of anything. But really nothing's happening. Combine or whatever. But now watch my Breaking Points news program, news podcast with Crystal Ball and Sager, and Emily and Ryan. Yeah, I should subscribe to them. I enjoy it so much. I watch it daily. But tonight, if I do it right, if I do whatever I do, I may watch the final episode of Paradise. Paradise, so good. Paradise, to me, is so good. I may even watch the previous episode again. That's how good it is before I watch. I may just end up watching the previous episode tonight and then watching the final episode tomorrow. That'll be my Friday night. I need to go out. I need to go out too, probably. But we'll see. Maybe I just need to rest for 2 days. Long as I get my steps and don't eat too much. Don't put it back on. You're making good strides. 206.4 this morning. You're making good strides, Mr. Mitchell. Don't give it back. As I begin to fantasize about what I want to eat this weekend. I tell you, I went to Wingstop and got me 2 fries. I wanted to eat something when I got back Saturday. I was trying to figure out something good to eat. And I couldn't figure it out. So I ended up going to Ralph's for something. And I saw ribs was on sale. The kind of ribs I like. This is Kansas City barbecue ribs. It's already like prepackaged and sauced. You just put the whole, cut a slit in the pack and you put it in the oven for like an hour and a half. These things are just so good. And it was. I got that. And I went and got 2 Wingstop fries. 2 fries from Wingstop. It was good. Well, the Wingstop fries were not good. They was busy. And you could tell they kind of just threw them in the bag. You know, I wasn't impressed. But I ate them. And it had been so long since I eaten. You know, I just got back and unpacked. And I was trying to unpack and do this and do that. Go through my... I was going to forego the ritual and just eat. In fact, I was going to forego... Oh, here's what happened. I went to In-N-Out. But the line in and out was too long. I said, I forget this. I'll go figure something else out. So I just left it and I said, this line's too long. I ain't waiting for this. So I ended up going to Rouse for some reason. Maybe I'll get this and that. Maybe I'll get some hamburger and buns, whatever. You know, sausage and whatever. Then I saw the ribs and I said, I feel good. More and more, I'm questioning how long I want to be in this position. I definitely want to stay at the job, this employer. But it might be time for me to start to look to get out of this department. It might be time for me to start to look to jump ship out of this department. Because I came in at the highest of standard. I've never respected a job more than I did this one. The people I worked with, my supervisor, oh my gosh, she was the best. And I didn't even know what it was about her. You know, because I wasn't like attracted to her physically or sexually or anything like that. There was something about her that, you know, and I realized it was the respect. She basically was never wrong. If she presented something to you, it was well prepared. If she said a certain time, be there at a certain time. She set a deadline, meet that deadline, nothing. It was rock solid. And I respected that, and I didn't even realize how much I respected it until it was gone. And the other person I came when I first came in with was so methodical and logical and practical. He was like a robot. He was like a machine. He was just like a computer. And I often said, if you can dance with Robert, you can dance with anybody on the planet. Oops, I gave up his name. Robertson. I gave up his name Robert. Robert Santangelo. He was deeply respected, his work ethic and the way he handled things. The other one was Tina Sarsla. My God, she was just amazing. I said, I didn't even know what it was. We was like good friends, I guess. You know, I was always look to her and, you know, tell her stuff. Probably told her too much stuff. Got me in trouble one time. Because you tell supervisors are obligated to report certain things. They are obligated. And she ain't one that's gonna, you know, not, she gonna go by the rules. That's another thing I probably deeply respected. She went by the rules and the guidelines and adhered to them strictly. And I came up with, you know, on that. And that means I had a leader, a supervisor that I looked up to and respected, that, you know, not only was protecting me, you know, covering me, whatever, helping me, supporting me, etc., but was capable and commanded my respect. That's the word. She commanded my respect out of her ethic and how she can handle and carry herself. And let's just say she went to another department and it's no longer like that. It's no longer like that. In fact, I was thinking about sending her a message telling her something like that. I said, not that I'm ratting out the department, but I just want you to know if you don't, how good a job you did. And of course, more so how important you are to Jeffrey Scott mission. The role you play in Jeffrey Scott Mitchell's evolution at this position. Forever grateful. And see, now a standard was set, and a standard I got used to. And then now, since we can't maintain that standard, my disposition and the way I look at it and the way I handle it has changed. You know, my drive, my motivation, my inspiration has deeply changed. My inspiration has maybe even, I ain't gonna say been destroyed, but it may be gone. It was just certain things in place. We used to have this performance review we would get. You get your score, then you get a list of everybody else's score, so you couldn't see, you know, who had what score, but you could see all the other scores. And that was my drive to be, you know, on the top one or two of that every month. We don't do that no more. The new supervisor I got is definitely not as concise or precise. Didn't command that level of respect that Tina did. And, you know, when Jeffrey Scott Mitchell's mind, you know, idle hands are the workshop of the devil. And, you know, I'm Mr. Y'all can kiss my black ass. No matter how much I worship this company and how much, you know, I'm talking crazy about even thinking about leaving, which would be ludicrous. But I'd do it. It's just who I am. I still do it, even though I know it shouldn't be the thing to do in the wrong move. In the back of my mind, bottom line is y'all could kiss my ass. But I'm nowhere near that for this job. It's even blasphemous to even say it. But as a individual, I have to keep it in my mind. I have to keep that part of the scenario, the environment, and the, you know, it could be that way. But I have to be able to say that, even to the job that I worship. Nobody is beyond that. Nothing or nobody is beyond. You can kiss my black ass. Nothing. And that's just the way, you know, I like it for it to be. So I'm contemplating that, and the chances are, you know, it'll never get back to, no, it will get back to where it was once, I'm sure. It definitely could be, you know, because things could be addressed, adjustments could be made. I was even thinking, what if I was to take over and be supervisor? I mean, that's something that I would not want to do, something I knew I didn't want to be a long time ago. Years ago, I knew I never wanted to be a supervisor or manager because I didn't want to be responsible for people's feelings. And my assumptions about the position and the responsibilities of the position have been validated. Sadly, you know, they've been validated that I was right. That's not the role that I would want to be in. I would want to stay more technical. I'm very less administrative, very less dealing with people. You know, I want to maintain being hands-on. But I probably don't want to be answering the phones as much anymore. Or I want to work on projects longer term. I don't want to be going from one to the other to the next to the next to the next to the next to the next, you know. Because my whole thing is the next one. You know, I don't spend more than an hour on anything. And I think I might want to get out of that. That might be the best reason, if I need a reason, for me to get out of this position. Not so much the customers getting on my nerves, not so much the whining or whatever, because I don't mind dealing with people. And in fact, that may be one thing that I miss, actually dealing with people on the basis that I do. Constantly different personalities all day long. You know, I'm talking to 30, 40 different people. You know, some people I know, shoot, some people I'll be on the phone with 30, 40 minutes. We just talking stuff. You know, just talking, you know, technical stuff. So, you know, we get to talking and going over stuff and, you know. But I'm thinking it might be nice to maybe work on a database administration, or maybe, and then have a couple projects that need to be built out and figured out, you know, stuff like that. I know a couple people who have got out of it rather quickly too. They came in knowing they wanted to get out, in fact. You know? So I might consider that. I might need to consider that. But then also, I don't want to take on a new role where I got to learn something. I just want to coast for another 7 years. 7 years and 4 months. I just want to coast for 7 years and 4 months till I'm 70 and get full retirement. What is this dude doing? Why he jump back like that? Like he doing something. Oh, he making a video. Taking a picture. I was wondering why he looked like he was doing something on the ground and like moved back real fast. He was taking a picture of himself and his bike. So, that's me and the evolution of me. Where I'm at. And rock star. See, that's what they call me. That's what they call me. A rock star. And here I thought it was like, you know, being a rock star. Rock star. It's more like you're a rock and you don't move. You're a star, but you're a rock and you don't move. I was like, okay. It's kind of demeaning. I took it kind of in a demeaning way, but I was like, okay, fair enough. But it might be time. But again, I don't want to learn nothing new. I don't want to be consumed having learned something new. I don't know if I want my job to become so challenging to where I got to think. No, I take that back. I mean, I got to like learn something new, but I probably need to challenge at least for another couple of years. Because I do want to keep myself open to, you know, doing my Jeffrey TV stuff, because that's the priority. Whatever it is the Jeffrey TV stuff is, I'm still not quite sure. I just know that I'm doing it. Maybe not know why. Well, I know why. Maybe not know what. Guess I know what. How I do too. When I know. What? What? I may not be doing it. I may not know what I'm doing it for. But anyway, I'm doing it for history. Anyway, swinging on y'all two times. For me, for the funk, and for every elementary particle that has ever existed in any atom, in this or in any universe that ever was, is, or will be. The totality of it all. Theory of universe. Hypothesis of all as one. My name is Jeffrey.